Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Do you remember that song? Cause I know it's kind of funny, and I know it's kind of... Who sang that? I think it was actually Depeche Mode.
I have literally no idea. Oh, yes, I do know. I know that song.
What's it?
I don't know who sang it.
World, isn't it? It's a, cause
you sent me something so cool last night.
Yeah, that was
on
one
there.
Of the songs
that was on
it.
There.
Yeah, that was one of the songs yeah. on it. It's a mad world. Mad world. Because I know it's going to funny.
That was a cool mix that you sent me. That was so cool.
Yeah, I have some cracking mixes at the moment. It just depends on how hardcore you want to get.
Well, it made me want to get up and just party.
Yeah.
Dance.
I love music that just does that.
I know.
Because, you know.
Transports you.
Yeah, transports you. And I mean, it's you know, getting up and dancing and partying is such an addiction. Because when I think about my party years. But you see, some people think about party and they think about. You know, the word party means one thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
The word party for me means blowing yourself up.
Shit
loads. 4 days.
Of drugs.
Yeah, shit loads of drugs. And because that's just how it was back there. So I've had to tame down, obviously, as I've got older in life, tame down.
You have two drinks and you're on the floor now.
I know. And I set up the... Ange had a 50th, so we held a 50th party for Ange. And it took me... It was about 3 weeks into the organisation. It was 3 days in setting it up. So, and this is a warning to anybody that's thinking, oh, let's have a 50th, let's have a 40th, let's have a 60th, and you want to throw a big do. So I have a huge house. I live in 3.5 acres, you know, 400 metres of living space on the roof. So it's a fucking huge house. So I organised the party, and we were like, Ange had watched this show that she kept going on about, this
White Lines.
White Lines, this fucking...
Boxer. He was hot, though.
Whatever. I wouldn't mind. He was... In real life, I think he's actually gay.
Is he? Well, yeah. It doesn't matter. He didn't
anyway,
look gay.
Anyway, he looked like a big Greek dude with a hairy chest, and Ange was like, oh, my God. And in the lovemaking scenes, Ange was like, you know, why can't you do that with me? And I'm like... Fuck you! Do you know what I mean? Then that night I was like trying to throw her up against the cupboard.
And wasn't working, was it?
No, because I'm only a little fella. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a fucking boxer. Anyway, so we watched that thing, White Lines, which was all about, you know, the early 90s rave scene in Ibiza, etc., etc. And so all the music was there and everything was happening. So we're sitting around one Friday night at the back having beers after work. And all of our friends are there. And somebody goes, oh, and you're 50 this year. And I go, oh, let's have a party. And then one of the other mates, who's also an ex-partier, goes, why don't we have a white party? And I'm like, well, what's a white party? Well, everybody who turns up to the party has to wear white. So, hey, presto, off we went. We were having a white party. And Ange was kind of in and out. I was the one that was pushing for the white party.
Yeah, because I'd been telling her for ages, you need to have a party. And she didn't want to have one.
Yeah.
And because every year we do the same thing on her birthday. Yeah. But then next minute, I know, she's having a party.
Next minute. But then, so I was like, yes, absolutely. And I absolutely eat those words. I should never have done that. So 3 weeks out, we're organising the party. And our good mate, Rammer, big shout out to Rammer. She's getting everything organised. And then we get to 3 days, all the equipment's turning up. We gave a budget of X amount of $1,000 for the party. All this equipment's turning up, lighting, everything, and off I go. And I was like 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night every day. Didn't even get time to eat properly, you know, just every day, just setting everything up. Now, when the party kicked off, it was incredible. And we invited about 150 people, thinking 85 would turn up. But actually, about 135 people turned up. There's only about 50
people. Yeah, there was
short.
Lots of people.
We
in
ran
the house.
Out of beer within 2 hours.
Yeah, I was calling you like, we need beer. Go get
so I think we did 600 beers. We did like 75 bottles of Prosecco, 75 bottles of white wine, 50 bottles of red wine. Plus, we had two
slushy
machines.
I hope all these stats
machines.
Are exactly the same stats you used on the podcast we did last time. Care. Because anyway, otherwise, it sounds like you're making
I know,
them
but
up.
I never let the truth get away with a good story. So we set this whole thing up and. You know, I was in bed at 2:30 and I didn't get to have fun because I was trying to say hello to 135 people.
Oh, diddums, poor you.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to take on a task like this, you have to really think about what you're doing. And everybody was saying to us, why did you do that? Like, a great party, but what the fuck did you do that for?
It was a bit intense, setting
then,
it up and
then 10
it down.
Days later, 10 days later, we were still taking it down. Mm. But I think that how did we get on that?
We were talking about the sound, the music, and Ibiza. And the clip you sent me yesterday.
And then really Ange cool. has gone. Ange has decided very courageously to go a year alcohol free. And that's very challenging at home. It's very challenging
for you.
Yeah, very challenging for me. Very,
why?
Because you think you're trying to deal. Well, there's a part of me doesn't want her to fail, right? And there's a part of me doesn't want to go through the whole process with her of what happens as you come off alcohol, as you wind down. Because you think the alcohol is the problem, but that's not the problem. Like stopping drinking is not the problem. It's the cause and then the root. So the cause is the behavior that happens as a result of the root. So you have the root cause, then you have the cause, and then you have, you know, you have the alcohol. And so you have to, what happens with addiction is that, as we've said before in many podcasts, you create problems so that Friday night you have a reason to drink. So, and then, but the thing is that why are you doing that? You know, which is the root. So I'm watching that unfold and I'm thinking, Christ, and like I said to Angie the other day, you have to, you know, I'm running this story in my head, hon, that you're not dealing with the cause or the root, you're just dealing with the alcoholism. So you're susceptible to going back to it if you don't deal with those two things. Just because you've stopped drinking, it doesn't mean that. Now, Angie is great, she's lovely. You know, Angie's like, she's been off the alcohol for 3 weeks and she's writing a book about it.
Yeah, and just always the expert on whatever she's doing.
Now we were
she's either the vegan expert or the grease expert.
Within 2 days.
Or the and then she, expert.
I walk in the other day and I look at her and I go, wow, your complexion's really changed. And she looks at me and she goes, well, if you stop drinking, your complexion will change too. Rather than going, oh, thanks, honey, that's really nice. But so I'm trying to navigate around because I said, I'm running this story in my head. And I'm telling myself that because you're not dealing with the cause, and I need you to help me with this, because you're not dealing with the cause or the root, that you're just prolonging the inevitable, that is, you're going to go back on it. So the cause, the problem with the cause is that when, with the cause, there's, you know, there's casualties.
Yeah.
And the casualties are the kids, the family, because you get mad, you get frustrated, you get pissed off.
Yeah.
And then everybody
talking, when you're talking about cause, do you actually mean the trigger, like the...
No, the cause is...
Because you're saying the cause and the root cause.
Oh, so the root cause is the subconscious motive.
Yes, the root cause is subconscious, but the cause then would
is
be
the conscious behaviours.
Yeah.
So, well, you can call them triggers, but the conscious behaviors, which is, you know, I come in and the kids have put the school bag down and they haven't tidied it up, so I'm going to get frustrated over that.
Yeah.
So you build, create all these problems, so you feel more and more frustration, so that by the Friday or the Thursday, you're wishing the weekend on so that you can just escape.
You can escape, yeah.
From something that you have just not learned to manage.
Yes, but...
And so communicate correctly with.
But I don't know if I agree with that, because what I think you're saying is that... Instead of dealing with the...
I don't care if you agree.
I know, but I'm going to just say my piece anyway. So, you know, what you're saying is that dealing with the alcohol in itself is not enough. You've got to deal with the cause and the root cause.
Well,
right?
If you're going to take the job on...
Yeah, I know.
You know, you don't, if you're going to paint your house, you don't just paint the fucking doors.
100%. But at the same time, sometimes you just need to do it. Sometimes looking at the cause and the root cause, understanding that they're there is important and understanding you've got to look at them is important. But the key to doing that in the first place is dealing with what you used to push them down. Because if you use alcohol to push those things down and then you're not using alcohol, then the cause will start to appear and then you're going to start noticing that, right, I'm not using alcohol but now I'm getting mad or now I'm eating more or now I'm... I don't know, doing something different and I'm replacing that addiction with something else. So you've got to be aware of it, but the first things first, in my opinion,
I think
is that you've got to take that out. You've like trying to somehow go deep without dealing with the surface stuff is not enough.
No, I totally agree with you. That's what I'm saying. You have to deal with all of it. You have to be open to dealing with all of it.
Yeah.
You have to understand that.
You've got to be open to it.
Just coming off the alcohol is not going to sort the problem out.
But I think Ange is aware of that, isn't she?
Well, I think that there's times when she is and there's times when she isn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's when we're caught up in the emotion of the drama and the cause, you can't hear anything because you're just too emotional. It's like trying to negotiate with a drunk. Yeah. There's no point in trying to negotiate with a drunk because they're drunk on emotion. They can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I have to... So at the moment, we're in that early stage. I think we're in week three.
You've finished week three.
Wrote the book. She started the podcast.
You're in week four.
She'd fucking kill me if she ever did. No, we're in week four.
Yeah.
You're right. But it's like I have to... It's very up and down at the moment, you know, and my heart goes out to her because I know what her intention is. I know where she wants to get to. I know what she wants to sort out. But we have to sort out what, you know, and like she's a great mother. Like she's a fantastic mum. She's really, really good with the kids. But when she's in it, like she's in it. Do you know what I mean? When she's in that cause and it's like I have to be... That's the wrong time for me to run in and go, well, look what you're doing. You know, this is what you do and this is why you end up in that place and this is inevitable. What's coming, it doesn't matter. We're all going to end up back there. So I think I have to just be a little bit, because it's, for me, I feel when that's happening, it really draws me towards the kids. I really pull them in close. I do what I can to get them out so we can get out and hang out and do stuff. And so that I can give Ange her space because she's trying really hard. You know, like she's reading books, she's following people, she's in that stage, you know, that stage that we talk about, Master the Money Money?
Yes.
Where you're always just one emotional trigger
away
from repeating the same cycle again?
Yeah.
She's
That's
in
how
that,
you feel it is.
She's in that stage. And it's difficult for me because, Ange, you know, because of what I do, she's like, well, you're just trying to seminar me now. Who do you think you are? The man at the top of the mountain trying to seminar me? Don't seminar me. I'll seminar you. I'm the one not drinking. And it's not like I only have one or two beers. And that's if I even do that because I want to get out and ride the next morning and stuff like that. But it's difficult to negotiate that at the moment for me to try and, because when I'm in that, you know, uncertain ground, I just want immediate gratification. I just fucking want her there. Just fucking get there, sort it out, get the route, give me back my wife. Do you know what I mean? I just want it.
But
now.
You're always more comfortable when that's happened, right? So you're kind of just trying to get back to your comfort spot at the end of the day, right? Mm. So maybe it's not your job to negotiate it. Mm. Maybe you keep thinking that you've got to sort it out and you've got to fix it, and that's not what she's asking for. The opposite to addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. Mm. So all she's asking for is connection, not you to negotiate and fix. And Ange, you're 100% right. Ange has the personality when she's in something, she's the fucking expert of that thing, right? I was up there on Saturday night and she's like... And look, I'm not drinking. And look, and I'm having a great time. And da da da. And you know, everybody's like, "Can I drink?" Or like everybody's in, because they know what Ange is like with that. But it's lovely as well to see, because that's her childlike. I'm not saying immature, childish, or child. Yeah. But I'm childlike as in her nature is to, you know, is to thrive off that. And I love that about her. But while she's experiencing that. And if she's going through that, and even I understand that there's ups and downs and there's emotions happening, but I think people are really asking when they're in that space, and I know from my personal experience, people are asking to connect. Like they're not wanting you to fix, and you have a habit of doing that. Like I love you.
Well, I'm the mender.
You're the absolute, that's absolutely. But that's because it's easy to fix in her what you're not looking at in yourself. I know,
take
I know.
Take it back.
I know, but it's true, don't you think? Because that you
we're always trying to mend in others.
Of
but
course, but I'm talking about you specifically because you were talking about you specifically, right? When you specifically are trying to negotiate and trying to help her to see something deeper, it's because you're not seeing something deeper.
I wonder if that's why I'm always waiting for the
other shoe to drop.
Is it the other shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sometimes.
Is it? Okay. Maybe I'm that's why I keep saying I'm just waiting for the moment. You've got to pick your arguments. I've got to wait for the moment to be able to connect with her because I'm actually trying to connect with me. I've realized not to, you know, it's taking me a while. I've realized not to engage when, you know, as much when she's in those places. Do you know what I mean? When she's in that space. And when she gets up in the morning, you know, she doesn't say it, but she you can always see it in her eyes. She'll come over and let you know, hey, you know, yesterday was a bit of a bad day, you know. And I think that's what we have to hold on to be able to go, okay, I get it. Yeah, it's okay. I understand. I get what you're trying to do.
I think that sometimes...
And then also, I don't want to say something because I don't want to fucking tip her back into it again. Yeah, so I'm kind of like...
I understand, but that's not your responsibility. Mm. Your responsibility as a partner, as a friend, as whatever it is that you are to another human being, your responsibility is to do what's right for you. And you do that with me all the time. You say, I don't want to trigger something or I don't want to like, you know, and that shows that you're not willing to connect. For me, that shows you're not willing to connect. And it's not me you're not willing to connect with. Mm. You're not willing to connect with the part in you that has to step up and be in that moment, because in that moment, that's the part she's trying to connect with in herself. And if you step up in that moment, you give her permission to do the same. Mm. If you connect in that moment. So in those moments, that you learning not to engage in those times is perfect, because in those times she doesn't need you to engage. She just needs – this is something we mentioned on the last part – she just needs to go through whatever she's going through. Mm-hmm. And if she's allowed to go through it with your arms around her or with your space, you know, whatever it happens to be, she will have that emotion, move on from that emotion, whereas before she would want to not have the emotion, so therefore she would drink it down.
Yeah.
So if you are, like, engaging with someone who is drunk on emotion, I'm 100% with you at that, right? But what that means is that you're not getting into an argument with them, whereas if you're just allowing them the space to be or have whatever they need to be in that moment, that's fair. But then there's other times where I feel like you don't want to – you're afraid of that connection to a degree, because we all are. We all are afraid of that vulnerability.
No, I don't think I'm afraid of the vulnerability. Oh. What I don't like is that I can't get there.
Right.
I'm not afraid of vulnerability. I do that all the time. I'm afraid what annoys me is I don't want to feel the feeling of not being able to get there.
Because
I don't know. I don't know how to. I'm like, how the fuck do you get there? Like, so it's just, that annoys me. I can, you know, I can get there with someone else. I can help them get there in seconds. It's no problem. I know how to do that, hands down. But it's, I don't know how to completely get there myself. Do you
know what I mean? But I said to you the other day, remember when we were on the cruise with Jack Canfield?
Yeah.
And he was teaching, he was lecturing that day, and he was saying about how we speak to ourselves, that I can't, you know, I can't X, Y, Z. And he said, change the words I can't to I won't. Mm-hmm. And if you say I won't get there, mm-hmm. and understand now, asking a different question of why you won't get there, then you'll have your answer. Mm-hmm. Because you keep saying I can't, because the truth about it is that you mm-hmm. won't. You don't want to for some reason. Because absolutely you can get there, and absolutely you do know how to get there. But there's a risk of you going there with Ange that's a different risk than going there with the client.
Mm.
Because it means that you have to be more of you. More of you is on the line. If you are sitting with the client and they don't agree, you can understand that that's their stuff, right? But if Ange doesn't, then that indirectly and directly affects you and your family and your children and X, Y, Z.
I suppose because you feel like you've put so much time and history into the person that you – like if it's a client, you're just like, meh. But if
it's not, and that meh is not like no. it just means that you get that they,
yeah, because yeah. that meh is the defensive side of you,
yeah,
and because you know how to defend yourself, do yeah. you know what I mean? You know how to, but if when it's someone who's close to you, you're afraid you're gonna, you know, of the hurt and the letdown that you're gonna get because you've known them for so long, you know, and they've been in it with you for so long and so many years, you know. Yes.
I think acknowledging, have you acknowledged to her how it is for you as well? Are you afraid of doing that?
Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to get, it's not all about you, honey, right now, okay? I'm the one that's cleansing. I'm the one that's that's getting clean, you know.
Well, maybe it's not to her that you have to acknowledge it. Maybe it's just elsewhere, yeah. Or maybe it's even to yourself.
I agree. Maybe I need to have a conversation with myself tonight about, okay, you're not there yet, buddy, but at least keep your eye on what the target is,
yeah,
and move towards what you want to move towards. Because it's not fair on her that I'm not doing that either.
Because it's not about just her. It's both of you in that scenario, because you play, you've built a life together based on the people you were as kids. You know, like you met when you were 17, right? And while you didn't start dating until you were a bit older, you've known each other since that age. Then you were a bit older when you started dating, but you guys have been together for so long now that there's a lot of years gone into that, and now it's time for a new version of you guys to emerge. And it's like this, I don't know, it's just like a next level.
I think it's partly also, I know who I am and I know how to handle and connect with her when she's using alcohol, when she's drinking. And I don't know who I am without it. And I've known this person for 30 odd years. Do you know what I mean? For just on 30 years. So I know what it is to handle her like that. And correct. I don't know who this new person is. So
but also when you're drinking as well. Maybe I'm
afraid of
this
new version. Oh, of course. Yeah. Maybe I'm just afraid of this new version.
Think more than anything, I did actually say this to Ange beforehand, but I actually think that it's going to challenge you in that respect as well. Because in a way...
So I'm going to be like, you're fucking boring.
No, not in that respect. But because
drink a bottle of Sauv Blanc, will you?
No, not in that respect. In the respect that you're both going to be different people. You have to be different. She is going to be more of who she is. She's not going to be pushing some of that stuff down. And yet she might... has she started eating differently, like eating more food and doing other things?
She's doing organic Ange's bit.
A bit is happening as well right now, right? Okay.
Which is great because, I mean, she's always been a healthy eater as it was.
But I think that all those different things, like she might find other ways to numb it down. But if she's not, there's definitely going to be parts of her that are new to you that you've not really met before. And that's really, really vulnerable for her because she's got to show you those parts of her for the first time. And this is all a process of you doing that. And remember, like I said, you both have had this experience of when you met, and even over the years, you know, alcohol would be a big part in your relationship, like it is in anybody's relationship, right? But that now it's being asked to go to a different level, and I think that there's the rumblings of like uncertainty about that next level as is going to be for her, and then it's also going to be for you. I think you're going to be just as challenged by this as she is. Because what happens when there's times where you have your pal Ange, right, that you used to go and party together? Do you know what I mean? You used to go out drinking, or you go have a nice meal and a wine, and all of that stuff is different for you. You have to find a different way to do that. And I think that's going to be just as she's already made up her mind about it. But for you, I think it's going to be just as challenging. So it's going to be interesting to see the
how
process.
It rolls out.
Yeah. And I think that this was a good chat, because I think it's good to, like, I don't know, I think it's good to talk about those things, you know?
Yes.
Let's see. See how we go.
See you later.
See ya, buddy.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.